It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hour number two, Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV underway. And we should say thanks to Birch Orthodontics. As always, Dr. Birch, best of the best. Excited to shout out Birch Orthodontics for the job they do. One of these days, it's happening soon, but the teeth are progressing. My son Clark will be without those braces, and then we will really have a celebration, guys.
We should have a party.
We will.
The invite back all of the other family members from the War Chant family who've gone to Birch Orthodontics. I was thinking about this. Like, being an orthodontist has got to be, it's got to be redeeming, right? It's got to be, there's fulfilling because you're helping these kids.
Helping kids, yeah. And adults.
On the flip side, though, dealing with teenagers all the time.
Ooh. Well, Corey's doing it right now. I'm doing it. You've done it.
I think it's the best. They're on their best behavior in the orthodontist, though, right?
I think maybe.
Probably. Yeah, maybe. You're not getting – I mean, are your kids jerks?
Yeah, you're right. Might as well. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. She's – Dr. Birch and her staff, they're getting the best out of these kids.
Yeah.
And hopefully that, you know, obviously that the it's a rewarding experience, obviously, for the children, the young people, or old people, whoever get their orthodontic work done at Birch Orthodontics, but also – It is, you know, it's a good point. I was thinking about it. I was just like, man, dealing with teenagers all the time. But you're right. They're getting their best.
I don't get the best.
No, I don't either.
On a daily basis. I don't. I'm often bringing up that I don't get their best. I don't see
it. Yeah, I pointed that out to Brady time or two, too. Like, I don't feel like you're trying your hardest right now when I asked you to do something.
Instead, you're doing anything close to your best on a daily basis a lot of times with certain subject matters or things that I'd like. I can tell you 100%, Clark's not doing his best on keeping his room clean. It's just not happening.
Yeah.
It's just not. I mean, every time I go in there, it's a haphazard effort.
Well, we've said that before. Maybe like in a little offshoot for Dr. Birch, she could offer her services to come by the house and offer some, you know, let me check it. Dr. Birch is going to come and she wants to see your room, Bryce.
Yeah, well, that's not a bad play.
I have two very different kids. Bryce's room is impeccable. It's actually almost too neat. I go in there and I'm like, aren't you a teenage boy? What in the world? And everything is in its proper place. Clark is the antithesis of Bryce when it comes to room cleaning. He's everywhere you look, there's just something laying on the ground. Willy-nilly. I'm like, so you just thought it was an okay thing to leave a dish of half-eaten food over in that left corner of your room? For how long has that been there? A couple days. What?
I'll be honest. I think I trust Clark more than Bryce, though. A clean, like a teenage boy, 16, that has an impeccable room?
I don't know,
man. That's something going on there.
No, I'm actually impressed, and I trust Bryce a lot more than I trust Clark.
Everybody can trust Dr. Birch and Birch Orthodontics. Go to birchorthodontics.com, get a free consultation. They do tremendous work. We can't recommend them highly enough, and give them credit for dealing with these teenagers.
That's true. All right, let's get to questions. Hello, gents. If FSU is 10-0 going into the final two non-conference games, why would Norvell risk playing his best players? The ACC championship guarantees a playoff position. Nothing else matters.
Beating the Gators matters.
That's a good answer.
There's a bigger fish out there to fry, right? Like, you don't want to suffer. I mean, this is something that will be part of what the sport we cover now moving forward. I don't know if it necessarily happens with Florida State and Florida this year, but it's going to be something that's going to be a part of the deal.
I guess there's two different things. If you've got a guy that's got a nagging ankle injury and you're trying to rest him, it makes sense. But like load management or like resting guys, just like these teams, you know, in the NFL, if a team's got 15 wins or whatever, no, I don't think you do that because these rivalry games do matter more than a regular season NFL game.
Here's the problem. I think it's going to be a nuanced deal, like most things are. Yes, it does, Ira. But at the same time, this is the new era of college football with the expanded playoff, and there are going to be things that suffer. We've already seen it. And it pisses me off because Florida State just got screwed when it was on the heels of what we saw previous, which was that TCU lost to Kansas State in the final game they played that year in the Big 12 championship.
Yeah.
Because it didn't matter. They're like, it doesn't matter. Think about, people keep forgetting that, by the way. It just happened that a team didn't win their conference championship, got beat in the final game they played, and they basically did it because they knew they were already going to the playoff. God.
Let me ask you this. So let's go back to last November. Mm-hmm. If the play, if 12-team playoff had been in place, and if Florida State could have sat Jordan and Johnny and just try to just get by North Alabama – obviously Jordan would have not gotten hurt, which is great. But imagine if you lose a game like that, man. That's hard to, like, it's hard to wrap your mind around the idea.
Well, and it was senior night and they wanted to play him some, and then they played like ass for a quarter, and kind of angers me to no end also, but that's a whole nother subject.
I just think it's to me, it's, I'm not ready to go there in college football.
I'm not ready to go there, but I think we're headed there. I think we're headed to a place where eventually maybe some of these rivalry games, we've already seen it in other conferences, it gets to a place where maybe they just don't exist.
Well, yeah, they probably won't. But as they do, you know, if Florida State this, I think the better question is if Florida State's 8-3 this year and they've got some nagging injuries on the defensive line and they're playing Florida, knowing that they're not, even if they beat Florida, it doesn't help them at all. They have to go win the conference championship to get in the playoff. That might be when you're like, you know what? We got to think about the bigger good. We got to go win that game next week. That game next week is more important than the game right now against Florida. And that's the truth. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's true. It just hurts. It sucks to talk like that. I hate that. I don't like it. I mean, I agree with you. There may come a time, and maybe sooner rather than later, where that happens, and that would be the logical thing to do, because you get into the college football playoff by winning the conference championship, not by beating Florida. Just can you imagine?
Next question. It's
Can you
depressing.
Just imagine that Saturday, like sitting there, really, I'm not even going to watch this game. I'm just going to go out to dinner. What the hell do I care? They're not even playing their players.
Well, and the problem is you may still lose that next game anyway. And that was kind of our, you know, one of the things we used to talk about with, I feel like we had these scenarios sometimes with baseball, and it's just like, yeah, man, you got to win the games you can win. Like you can't just set yourself up for, you know, for example, in the postseason in baseball where like you don't pitch your best pitcher because you want to save him for the next round. Well, what if you lose the first game,
you lose first
and then
game.
The second game doesn't matter.
Yeah. Zotter with a Z writes, how many times have you watched the Jared Verse and Braden Fisk phone call? And can we get the esteemed FSU Film School to film the two of them living their life in L.A. as rookies together? Well, I have thought about how cool it would be. You get drafted by the Rams. You're that age. You're at this stage of your life, and you were given millions of dollars, and you're going to be living in Los Angeles. Wouldn't suck.
Those taxes, though.
Yeah, it's all right. I'll live with it.
It definitely wouldn't. I would say that just judging from what I've seen of Jared and Braden, and neither one of them's like out there in either way, Braden seems to be a little bit more – he's 25, I think. He's like an older dude. He was in college for 6 years.
Yeah.
Jared, I think, might be more apt to enjoy the nightlife than Braden. I don't know that Braden's going to be –
I think you're going to see Jared. You're going to see Jared at Lakers games.
Right.
I think he'll be in the front row at Lakers games a few times a year. I don't know that you're going to see Braden Fisk out and about as much, perhaps. I think Verse could be an actor when he's done. Like he who knows what his life is going to be like. That could be a really interesting city for that dude.
Well, and I will say that for any professional football player, if you're in New York City, if you're in Chicago, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, any big city, yeah, the temptations are all there. But pretty much the way their lives are scheduled, they really won't get to enjoy it maybe as much as if you just handed Ira and I at 22 years old, you know, $10 million.
I do think but back to the original part of the earlier part of the question about how many times we watched that, I probably watched that thing, I don't know,
let's be
seven, eight times. I mean, because I went back in different views of it. It's just really cool. I mean, I think part of it is the collective, like the emotions for them getting to play together, but then also Braden's dealing with his own emotions.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a year and a half ago, he was at Western Michigan. He redshirted at Western Michigan as a freshman. I mean, that's just mind-boggling that guy, he goes to Western Michigan, who, by the way, that program puts dudes in the league. especially
Western Michigan's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he redshirted. And then, you know, that it, you would just never imagine that 5 years later, you're going to start Florida State and be a second round pick.
Your boy has won quite a few chunks of change from Western Michigan over the years.
Oh, yeah.
I heard for Western Michigan. They've done well by me. My man, Nate writes, who does Link go to first with a one run lead in the ninth inning with Oxford and Barrett unavailable, but the rest of the relievers are?
Holtz.
Yeah, I think so. Holtz is the right answer, I think.
The straight gas.
Yeah. That dude, that curveball must be the best curveball that's ever existed because that's all he throws. They know it's coming, righties and lefties, and they don't do a whole lot with it.
I think if you're – this is where being a college baseball player or, you know, certainly maybe even like single A or something like – something equivalent, you just don't actually see 12 to 6 curveballs. And then that's why you see guys get to the majors and they can't hit the curveball, they're out of the league. Because those curveballs drop off a table, and his does. So it's, I mean, maybe that's part of it.
He also throws strikes, knock on wood. He throws strikes, which is a nice luxury to have when you bring somebody out of the pen.
And then also in this premise, we're just assuming Dorsey's a starter, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, assuming Dorsey's a starter, yep. Trailer Swift, here we go. What would you predict FSU's record to be if they played Miami's 2024 schedule? Also, looking at FSU's schedule, it seems we don't need an elite wide receiver until October against Clemson. Do you think that is going into the staff's math? Hakeem could develop, or maybe Destin will be back by then. All right, so should we pull up Florida State? I mean, Miami's 2024 schedule?
Let's see. I don't know anything about it.
Well, they got Florida to start, don't they?
I know that, yeah.
Here, I'll pull it up for us. Let's see what we got here.
They're running it back with A&M again? They just going to play them every year? Like, they're...
They're not, right?
No, I don't think so.
Temple? Okay. Maybe they're playing Temple again? I think they played Temple last year.
I don't want inside the U. Don't give me that. Give me the schedule here, guys.
I do think it's a fair... Oh, I think Tom's helping us out. Tom or
Thank you,
Ben
Tom.
Is helping
there
us
we
out.
Go. Here we go. At Florida, I had that right. Well...
At Cal.
It's a good game. I kind of lean Miami to beat Florida, don't you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
They should. It wouldn't shock me if they lost in Gainesville.
I wouldn't be shocked if they lost in Gainesville either. Is that a little Saturday night game maybe?
But this schedule is, it's not okay. It's not a murderer's row.
They got Florida A&M after that. They'll win the game. Ball State, they'll win that game. Then it's at USF. They should win that game. They're home to Virginia Tech. They should win that game. At Cal, they should win that game. Then it's a bye week. Then it's at Louisville. They should win that game. They host Florida State University. That's our home away from home down there at the Hard Rock.
Yeah.
Kind of feels like a toss-up game. Duke is at the Hard Rock. That's a rivalry game back-to-back weeks, boys.
Yeah, that's tough. You got to get up for it twice.
Got to get up for it twice. Yeah. Can't, like, what if they lose to Florida State on a last-second field goal? You can't lose to Florida State twice. Duke, come in there and beat you. That's a toughie.
Rivalry.
And then at Georgia Tech, that's probably a win, although they just lost to them at home last year. Then a bye week. Wake Forest at home. So another. Well, you're right, Ira. This schedule sucks. They're going to go 10-2.
Maybe. We'll see.
I mean, we'll see. Mario might do Mario stuff.
Yeah, Mario can do Mario stuff, and they could lose several of those iffy games.
But, yeah, it's not the most daunting of schedules. It's not Florida's schedule.
What's the 21 by Louisville and the 15 by Florida State? Is that perceived rankings for next year?
Where are you looking?
Right next to Florida State. It says 15.
Yeah. That was their rake even win.
No, it wasn't. That's what I'm saying. It's like
some services ranking. It's got to be connected.
I don't think at Louisville is going to be a tough game. I mean, look, man, what have we seen from Miami in the last 20 years that thinks that any of those are more than just a coin flip? They lose 6 games every year, and they lose to teams they're not supposed to. I know they're going to have more talent this year.
That's all.
But Cam Moore gets a sprained ankle, they could go 4-8.
Mario will lose a game or two with fourth quarter decisions. So that happens everywhere he's ever been. It happens all the time. He finds ways to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. So he'll lose at least – how about this? He'll lose at least one game this year from being incompetent, game day incompetent. And then as far as the personnel, I think the personnel is pretty good at Miami right now. They ought to go 9-3 or 10-2 if they play to their ability. They ought to with this schedule. But, again, I can't assume any of those things. So I'm with you on that, Corey. We'll see.
But the question was, what would Florida State do with that schedule?
And I think Yeah, you're 10-2,
11-1 if they're healthy.
Yeah, I don't think it's probably. I don't know that it's a drastic change from what their current schedule is.
Just the at Notre Dame. They don't have the no at Notre Dame.
Right.
At Notre Dame, you're out the gates in Ireland against the Georgia Tech team. It's much improved. It would be weird to see. I mean, if they don't hit the ground running because of all the new faces, right, you could have a problem on your hands.
For sure.
That's the only thing.
Well, Clemson, too. I guess they got Notre Dame and Clemson, so it's definitely tougher.
Nick writes, morning, gentlemen. I think the Rams call with Braden Fisk is one of the coolest draft moments I've ever seen. What do you think the coaching staff's reaction to it is? Oh, I'm sure they loved it. I'm sure that they I can't imagine that they didn't get excited for those two young men, but also a little choked up themselves. They know the work those guys put in.
Oh, and they definitely are using it to their advantage in terms of recruiting. I mean, Adam Fuller is not the most active guy on social media
at all.
He must have tweeted 300 times over those 3 days, just all retweeting all of the tweets about this guy and that guy. I mean, they had a great week. I mean, that was a great weekend for Florida State. And then the reactions just took it to a different level.
I was saying on yesterday's show that I think one of the things that resonates with people and possibly players, it's not just that, you know, you've hit the portal and done a good job by bringing in talent and then having that talent elevate the level of success. Most of the guys that left Florida State in the last few years, including Jermaine Johnson, Keir Thomas, amongst many others, have all had glowing things to say about their time at Florida State. And they've done so publicly. They've all said things that certainly you would use if you had a recruiting packet to give to somebody. Yeah, yeah. It's like, hey, it's not just that we were able to and surely in the case of Keon Coleman, they just recognized he was good. He came here. He was good. That was the end of it. I gotcha. But the vast majority of these guys, some of them had to take steps forward to get to where they were. Think of how far Jared Verse went from Albany to Tallahassee in the 2 years he was here. He has credited Papuchas and others for him making technical strides and all the other stuff. That's huge, because it's one thing to say, oh, well, they just identify talent and bring him in. No, they also develop him. Jerrion Jones was developed while he was here. It took a lot of time. Renardo, there have been a lot of these guys were developed.
A low-key, really cool one is Keir Thomas, because he was at South Carolina for at least 4 years,
and
maybe
then he got
5 years.
A lot better here. He was good.
And then he comes to Florida State, has a good year, and this is where he comes back. Like, he's at all of these events that Florida State does where the alumni come back. Keir Thomas is always there. I think he sees himself as a Seminole.
So does Jermaine Johnson. He lives here now.
But again, Jermaine was only in Georgia for one or two years?
One year.
Keir Thomas was at South Carolina for like 4 or 5 years.
Right.
To me, that's a little bit different. And the fact that he sees – and the way he was valuable in getting Jared Verse, it speaks a lot. It speaks a lot to the program.
Morning. Oh, sorry. Chris, abstract question, but what is the maximum percentage improvement you guys think is possible between spring and fall? I'm just thinking, what's the best case scenario for improvement with our wide receiver room if we don't get a transfer? Can Ikeem go from being average to really good? All ACC type good? ? Thanks.
I mean, that would be surprising. I don't think that's the natural course, the natural trajectory, but I mean, how do you put a percentage on?
I think he can be good, maybe even good to really good. I do think he can take a big step forward. Yeah,
I do too. And I think Portier is better than what he looked like. He just is. I think Ketron Portier, if he's your number three receiver, it's a pretty good receiving core. It's a pretty good receiving core. Yeah, he's got to be healthy. It'd be nice if he and Williamson, if they're on the roster, you want them to be healthy just to see what it is. Just to see what it is.
Well, they're big body kids with real physical tools.
I know, and you want to see it actually happen, because it hasn't for 4 years for one reason or another, mostly health.
That's why I'm inclined to maybe move on to the younger guys. But
if they're healthy, you wouldn't move on from Portier. You'd play him if he's healthy.
If he produced,
Ira hates Portier, folks. We just learned him on the show. He hates him.
If he produced, I mean, when you've been in a school for 4 or 5 years, it becomes about production.
Without question, he was making great catches against Georgia, but
he was good last spring, and then it's just the stupid injury. And he's made a few plays. He's caught 26 passes in his career, so he ain't Randy Moss. But if he can get you, 30 catches if he's healthy. I think he's an okay, decent college.
I think it's dangerous for Portier, because Ira never moves on from anybody.
I don't have a vendetta.
He never moves on from anybody. He'll stick by anybody, and he's not doing it with him.
That's when people offend me or disparage me, like Tony Bennett or Paul Johnson.
Portier has offended you?
No, I said he hasn't done that.
Okay, I'm just wondering.
It's not like those guys. His is just, I don't think – I. based on prior performance, I'm not going to expect this big breakthrough in 2024.
But it's not like I have anything against it. Right. It doesn't have to be a big breakthrough. He needs to be reliable. He needs to be a solid two or a three or something like that, which means availability is important, obviously. He has to be out on the damn field.
That's the most important ability, guys.
Oh, there it is. You know, we should coin that phrase.
Yeah, I've coined a lot over the years.
People really should know that about football players.
Yeah.
The best ability is availability. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever says it. We're going to do it from here on out. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Hey Headliners, Ira here, and it's time to talk Shopify. As you remember, a couple years ago, we wanted to create and sell Headlines merch for the best podcast listeners in the world. That's you. But we had no idea where to get started. Now we're selling Yay Sausage shirts, and it's so easy. All because we use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're a startup working out of your man cave or IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to grow your business without all the struggle. Shopify puts you in control of every sales channel. You can be selling Don Julio socks from Shopify's in-person point of sale system or offering headliner shirts from Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform. Whatever you need, you're covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/warchant, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/warchant now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/warchant.
Drew writes, since there isn't much to talk about with the transfer portal, I'll ask about baseball. I know you don't exactly know when the injured players will be back, but assuming they're all back by regional time, what do you think the starting rotation will be? Yeah, we were talking about this earlier, Drew, and thanks for the great show. He says, yay, sausage, FSU Drew. Thanks, Drew. Yeah, we were talking about this earlier. So let's assume, Corey, I want your opinion on this as well. We were talking about pitchers. You and I were back and forth. I right way in here, but I would not move Leiter back to Friday when he comes back.
I'm not sure I'd move Leiter to the rotation when he comes back.
Okay. He might be in the pen.
Especially if he's had – I guess we don't know the extent of the injury, but let's say they don't – I mean, he's a draftable kid, right? Like, they might not want him after having 2 months off to start throwing 100 pitches in a game again. But you could get 21 night and 22 two nights later. Like, I imagine that kid coming in as your closer, knowing you have that bullet to fire. That's a pretty unique arm to come out of the pen late in the game. And he's got that fire that you like out of a closer. I would be more apt to do something like that, I think.
Okay. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I think that may be where it's heading. I don't know. Like, the thing is, we keep hearing talk that Whitaker might be back as well, but you don't know how many. I mean, is he going to give you an inning here or there, a couple outs? Like, nobody knows exactly what he's going to be able to give you all. So it's just hard to answer because, I mean, I guess the hypothetical is that they're all back. I don't know to what degree and whether or not, they're willing to be, extended.
It'd be nice if you could, even if they just all fell under the banner of long relief.
Yeah.
Where you're like, okay, well, the rotation's rotation, Carson Dorsey's going to stay in the rotation as it is. And you know what? These guys are not returning to the rotation, but we can piecemeal it together with long relief appearances. So two or three innings, depending on pitch count for both those guys, all of a sudden you can find a way in a pinch on a Sunday to get six innings or five innings out of two guys.
Yeah. And we really don't even know because if pitchers are going to be starting pitchers, that is a process to work up to that level.
Yeah, have
and
they been throwing?
We don't know what Leiter's been doing during this time.
Yeah, that you can tell by the way how they're bringing them all along slowly. I mean, Ben Barrett, obviously,
Hopefully he's all right. Hopefully that wasn't a setback.
Okay, good day, gents. Who do you think gives the best press conference, Jameis Winston or Keon Coleman? That's from Alana, and she says first time, long time.
I like Keon better. I think Keon is just a goofy kid, but he doesn't have a filter. Maybe it's because I haven't, you know, Jameis, we saw every press conference for 2 years, and then I watched some when he was at Tampa. I just, even with Keon, you didn't experience him as much as we did Jameis. So I just think Keon's funny and original.
You have to look at the evolution. So like Jameis was really funny until the allegations came out, and then he had to be guarded. Like he had all these people telling him, you know, what he had to say and to not say anything. And so, you know, a big part of what we saw. And then after that, he was always trying to project an image of a professional.
That version
wasn't fun to watch because it wasn't him trying to be all buttoned up. Even when he was with the Bucks for a while, he was trying to be that first round number one pick
buttoned up. Yeah.
And it just wasn't really him. He's got that great personality. You just didn't see it enough. Keon is the one thing I would say, and I saw somebody tweet this, one of the people from Battles In, that I agree with 100%. They said that Keon's in on the joke. Like Keon's trying to be funny. Like he thinks he's kind of likes this character he's kind of created.
Yeah.
And which is awesome. I mean, I think he's got that personality and it's cool that he's showing it and using it.
My favorite part is he did something that all of us have done, especially when we were broke, which is to understand when things need to be purchased. I laughed. I'm like, I buy my sweaters in the summer. It's like, you got to do it. You can't buy them in the winter. You got to buy them. So he was doing it with jackets, but it made me laugh. And they ended up, I mean, Shannon Sharp ended up talking about that whole thing. And so, yeah, good for him. And by the way, it was cool that he reminded everybody there that he's not worried about the cold, that he played in Michigan. Because that one reporter was like, are you going to be worried about the cold? Worry about the cold?
I also like that he is uniquely built, I think, for this opportunity. He's like, he wants this. Like a lot of people are like, man, he's going to be thrown in the fire. They're going to expect. Yeah, that's what he wants.
He wants it. He wants to be the man.
Yeah. I bought a Braves sweatshirt last week.
There you go.
No, pretty cheap. I mean, it was at the team store, so it wasn't the cheapest around, but it was the cheapest thing in there.
Not that the team store is all that cheap.
Corey's
but in late April, it was a little bit of a discount. And, guys, I'm thinking ahead. I'm thinking, okay, what would I wear in October when the Braves and the Orioles are matching up in the World Series, and these can feel nice.
Okay, so this question is, so since we know you guys cannot construct the stadium bleachers, last week's show, this is from Justin. Would you take 1 year in prison, or the answer is going to be no to that, Justin? I don't care what the other scenario is. Short of death, I'm not doing a year in prison. And then the other part of this, or you're in prison until you can solve a Rubik's Cube. I can solve a Rubik's Cube.
Can you really?
Yeah, I did it in middle school, in fact.
Alexa can because she got the cheat code, which you had to do also.
Everybody got it. Yeah. Everybody got it.
Wouldn't it? I mean, eventually, if my life is in prison until I've never really cared enough to really try to figure it out and do it. And I haven't tried to do one in 40 years. So, but I think I do have confidence that if I don't figure this stupid thing out, I'm in prison for the rest of my life. I will figure it out eventually. I would do the second part.
I'll take the year wrap. I have no confidence in my ability to solve it. Here's the problem. I can solve one side. And I was fired up when I would do that.
Take notes
as you're doing it, as you're going along. Take notes. Like, oh, that's how I got all those whites together.
Do you remember when it came out, I remember all my buddies and I, we could all do two sides pretty quickly. Where the frustration became was trying to get that third. You're like, okay, now. Damn it, this is getting hard. And then somebody figured out there was a cheat code.
They put out the information. Yeah. And man, I don't know. I have no confidence at all in my ability to do that. And unless they turn, like if they don't have a camera on me, I could take it apart and put it back together.
Oh, that's smart. That counts.
But or did I chisel off the stickers?
Yeah, but Ira, you did not.
Put all the yellows on one side.
I'm going to defend you for a second. You didn't spend all that much time trying to solve the Rubik's Cube and only to fail time and again. I think if you're in prison with nothing else to do and your freedom depends on figuring this damn thing out, you're a smart guy.
Ira will be in the yard working out. That's all he's going to be doing is lifting. He's going to love it there. You're going to thrive.
I do feel like with my interpersonal skills, I could convince a friend
in prison
to do it for me in exchange for me doing something.
Don't start trading favors.
Tax work. Kim can buy me some stuff out of the canteen, some cigs.
My favorite trading in prison isn't the road you want to be going down.
You could buy a bunch of cigarettes and then find the one smart dude in prison and be like, "Hey, buddy, I got you. Here's 7 packs.
Yeah,
like, that's all day, every day.
That's my only chance.
Get this cube figured out.
I ain't figuring it out on my own. I can tell you that. Zero chance.
Then the guy wouldn't figure it out because he knows you're the source for the drugs.
He's got no leverage.
Almost. Gonna need 5 more packs.
I'm gonna take care of your family once I get out. I'll make payments to your family for years.
Two questions, writes Brett. Which is more likely for the 2025 season? Julian Armella is starting on the offensive line for FSU, or he plays for a different school. Who do you think had a better performance and or bigger impact against Miami, 2014 Jalen Ramsey or 2021 Jermaine Johnson? Wow, that's a good one. That's
Ramsey. Ramsey was incredible in that game.
Yeah, he was insane. Away with the pick and all that good stuff. And
he had a forced fumble. He had to. Wasn't even the play where he clapped in the guy's hands. That was a blitz on him.
Yeah,
he was incredible.
Yeah, he had a better overall game, but I don't know if they beat without Jermaine. I don't know.
Oh, I think Jermaine makes both.
The play on third down over there across the field, which is incredible. And wouldn't come off the field, if you recall. I remember loving that, too, him telling him to get back. Yeah, that's one of my favorite Jermaine Johnson moments. He's like, you're subbing me out, a-hole.
Yeah,
that was good.
As for the first part of the question, it seems more likely that he would – I mean, he has not entered the portal yet, so it seems more likely that he'll be starting. But I don't know that I would say that that's likely.
But 2025.
Oh, he said 2025?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the rub to the question.
It's more likely that he's starting here in 2025, isn't it?
Think.
I mean, Jesus, come on, Julian.
Get it together, Julian. Come on, man.
What are we waiting on out here?
Your time to shine. Well, in a year. Unless they portal over you.
You can take his step. Well, they may end up having to. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, boys, we've got a lengthy one here, but it was well-written, and the guy's loyal, so we got to do the right thing. I just wanted to prepare you.
Okay. All right. This is Facebook?
The last few have been Facebook. I'm trying to go back and forth. Ira's already shaking his head.
I had a feeling that was what was lacking in the last segment.
Chris writes, "Yay, sausage, my friends. Hope you guys are great and ready for all this hot as balls Florida summer we're about to have." Mm-hmm. We're off to a good start right off the bat.
Balls with the
team. Yeah. Maybe it's just me being Mr. Wishful Thinker, but I feel that if we can work primarily on our receivers being dependable at catching the football, we'll be very fun to watch and have a very successful season, even without a big body wide receiver threat. My confidence in this is because Mike's scheme and play calling always seems to find ways to get guys open. If we just catch the damn ball, be successful with the best running back room in the country, I see no reason why our struggles should outweigh our successes. What say you? And then he goes on to say, "Have a great day and the rest of your week. I love all you guys at War Chant. You guys make my day every day."
We love you, too.
You should have started with that. Ira would have been
why I read the question.
I loved it.
Also, I don't think it's the best running back room in the country, but I think it's good. It's talented and deep, yeah.
I'm with the premise, right? I mean, I'm with the premise. This offense can be perfectly fine.
I think it's going to be a good offense.
Yeah.
It's not like the receivers suck either. It's not like you're playing a bunch of 5-6 walk-ons. It's just a lot of unproven commodities that didn't necessarily take the spring by storm.
That's the whole
thing. Is
that fair
to say?
Yeah, the remnants of the spring carries over. Everybody's nervous. The spring wasn't, nobody lit the world on fire in spring. But it doesn't mean they're devoid of ability, to your point.
Two guys did. Malik did, I thought, near the end.
And again, he's
an afterthought all the time because of his size. Ja'Kai Douglas was really good. And maybe he's a guy that gets you 40 catches for 600 yards. He could be that kind of player.
Your number two is the thing, though.
He's a slot guy, man. You do stuff with slot guys. I mean, those guys make a huge impact on teams.
Well, absolutely. They do. I'm not trying to disparage Ja'Kai. It's just he can't be your second best receiver. So Miles writes, fellas, please rank in order from most to least probable. One, my Facebook question gets answered. Here it
That's
is, one. Miles.
That's the most probable.
That's the end of it. I'm not even going to read the rest of it.
Yeah, what's next?
Yeah. Two, Jordan Travis over 4.5 starts by the end of the 25 season.
Ooh.
I'll still go back with the first one.
And then three, we all get yay victory sausage this weekend after a series sweep over NC State and get to boo in Corrigan's stupid face.
I like the chances. I don't know that the AD's going on the road for baseball.
He better not show his face in these parts, even if they do. He could have gone to every road series this year. I would advise him not to come to this one.
Did you see that picture? Did you see the picture of the, I guess Aslan texted to Corey and I, the picture of the golf outing for the Chick-fil-A Classic? So we got Norvell's paired with Urban Meyer, which is bad enough.
I saw that. And that question got asked on Twitter. I was about to ask it. So here you go.
In the team photo, he's got Urban to his right and he's got Jim Grobe in front of him. I'm thinking one karate chop, something like a windmill karate kid. He could have taken both of them out because Jim Grobe was on the college football.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot about that. I was like, why do we not like Grobe?
And I was just saying, I never had a problem with Grobe until on the committee. Yeah, they just butchered it. How the hell do you not walk away? Man, good Lord.
I can't I honestly can't wait to hear stories at some point, maybe 5-10 years from now, about Jordan Travis sharing a room with Aaron Rodgers. Just like sharing a QB room and what those conversations are like. What kind of text does he get? What kind of links? I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, but
Aaron Rodgers is steady sending Jordan Travis links to conspiratorial websites.
He might now. We don't know where he was. He wouldn't have 5 years ago. He's going to run for president in 4 years.
Master Chief Osceola writes, good morning, man. I think I heard that we are still over our scholarship limit and waiting for guys to leave. What happens if they don't?
Good question.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I mean, it always works itself out. That's the thing you got to remember. No team has ever gone into the fall and said, hey, NCAA, sorry, we're at 87. Sue us. Like, it's going to get worked out. I would say this, though. What's interesting about that Jordan Travis thing, for the last year and a half, maybe the last 2 years, but definitely the last year and a half, Jordan Travis has not just been like the big man on campus at Florida State. Like, he has been the guy that everybody in that locker room revered. Like, he is so well liked.
Like Aaron Rodgers. So he has that in common with him.
But I'm just thinking it's got to be weird, right? If you're in that person's shoes, like if you're Jordan Travis for a year, everybody on the team wants to be around you. Because he's got a big personality. Plus, he's also just like was a great college football player. And then you go to like an NFL locker room where you're a fifth round pick. It's just got to be weird. Like, how do you navigate that? And you're in a room with Aaron Rodgers.
Well, you'd
be in the Hall of Fame.
You remember too. I mean, it took a while for Jordan to kind of figure out how he meshed,
how
to be the guy. I mean, he was never a big vocal leader, so it had to be by example and work ethic and all of those things. And in time, he kind of figured out how to incorporate elements of his personality and use it and be proactive as far as when to talk to people and how to talk to people. But, yeah, he's never been, all that big of an extrovert. I mean, this is a guy who wants to go fishing. This is what he wants to do. He wants to go be by himself and go fishing and chill out. And he's kind of quiet and reserved. And so it will be interesting to see how he handles it. And now he's in New York.
Yeah.
It's not just Aaron Rodgers. He's in New York City.
But literally with that guy, too, who might be the most gifted quarterback we've ever seen. I mean, he is an incredible quarterback. Yeah. He's also 40. And I don't know that he's ever been a really good teammate, and I don't know that he cares to be a mentor.
He's never been a helper of those behind him. That's the thing.
Maybe this is a point in his career where he's not threatened. He's not threatened by Jordan Travis. He was a fifth-round pick. He didn't like Jordan Love because he was a first-round pick when Aaron Rodgers was still trying to win a Super Bowl. So this is a different dynamic where maybe he can dispense some wisdom to this kid to help him, or he might talk about Sandy Hook. I mean, it could go either way with that weirdo, but I hope he does take it would be cool if he could teach him how to be an NFL quarterback. But
that would be really cool. I don't know.
I feel like Aaron's at the point now he's just going to start pouring into others.
Yeah. He's going to find the kindness that he lacked.
Maybe he'll see that Jordan talks to his family and decide, you know what? Maybe I should talk to my family.
I was just about to say.
Maybe Aaron Rodgers has a horrible family.
Imagine this. Jordan Travis arrives being a man of high character and sound mind. and has great interpersonal skills and all that. Yeah. Jordan Travis calls his mom and dad and his brother, and the next thing you know, they're friends again. They're family again.
Oh, yeah. Jordan mends all the fences.
Yes. Right. Jordan mends Aaron.
Jordan mentors Aaron Rodgers. So he mentors Aaron Rodgers off the field. And
how to be a human being.
Yes.
How to be, as opposed to a great quarterback, you can be a human being. Like maybe this is.
Okay. All right.
You see me working there? Yeah. All right. So anyhow, as far as Jordan Travis starts by 2025, 4.5, no.
I'd say under.
I'd say under.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Next one is, when do I interview Link again? Oh, thanks, Sean. I don't know. I think we're going to, I was going to maybe interview Link this week. So he wants to know what the timeline is with the pitchers. That's the question of the day about baseball. Everybody just wants to know because they know the team's good. They know the offense is really good. They understand that, you know, they've got a couple of frontline guys that they love, obviously, but you'd like to have a few more arms. That's going to be the biggest difference between success and failure. We know they're going to hit. We know they're going to hit. We know they're going to get a couple. Yep, they pick up the ball. They do a lot of things really well. If they just had something reliable, a back half of games, basically sixth inning on, you had three or four guys that you knew, okay, everybody's slotted where they're supposed to go. We should be able to get outs here. Everybody understands their role. They're all good to go. I don't know, and I do think it's going to be of vital importance. They have found a way. This tells you how far they've come, and I do think everybody has to appreciate this. They were so bad last year that even with all the injuries to two weekend starters, they have found a way to be in a position to be a top eight national seed and up amongst the elite in the ACC. And it's a really good conference this year.
Because they were not that last year. They were not in conversation to be a top eight national seed.
Of the conference. yeah,
that's right.
And that's all great points. And again, if these guys come back as they sound like they are going to come back, again, we don't know exactly what roles they're going to be in. But for if a lighter does come back and he can start, I mean, again, that just changes everything.
Yeah.
Tony wants to know if we could bring any sport to FSU or raise a club sport up, what would it be? Hockey, gymnastics, something else, writes Tony.
Definitely not gymnastics. For my personal viewing, it wouldn't be gymnastics. I mean, hockey would be cool.
I mean, I guess I'm thinking logistically. I mean, I just think it's...
I thought they had one for a while, a club hockey team.
Yeah, but I think they played in Jacksonville or something.
Yeah, did they? Yeah.
I guess I just don't know how much of reality are we dispelling, dismissing. For things that are actually possible, I think men's lacrosse would be cool because they're adding women's lacrosse. I mean, lacrosse is a huge deal.
I love lacrosse, actually. High school. My nephew played lacrosse, and I enjoyed watching him play. Yeah, it would be fun. Lacrosse is fun.
What about men's basketball?
It's well played, sir.
Come on, Leonard. We need a team, man. We need a roster.
A question directed to Ira specifically that was on Twitter, which was, are they going to have enough players to field a team?
I'm confident. You have my promise. You have my promise in 2024 that Florida State will have a men's basketball team. Okay. There will be probably upwards of 12 or 13 players on scholarship.
Whether or not
you believe they should be.
Cam Fletcher was in the portal yesterday. Yeah, he announced he's going to the. I didn't even know he had any eligibility left. So that's another ding. You really have Chandler Jackson and Taylor Bull Bowen are the only two scholarship players left off last year's team.
Returning.
You
got some. You got a couple portal.
I can hear transfers. The Taylor Swift talk coming, boys.
She's got a song called Florida, I think.
I don't know.
I think she's got a new song called Florida. Maybe it's about.
And according to Stephanie, she rips Kim Kardashian in one of her songs. So that's something to be proud of. Yeah, that is a positive.
She's going to be ripping ham in the next one.
All right, Matthew wants to ask a very off-season question. The following former Noel defensive ends are on your roster: Jermaine Johnson, DeMarcus Walker, Jared Verse, and Brian Burns. Which two are you starting, and who's coming off the bench? Thanks for the great content.
Wow. Okay,
that's Jermaine Johnson, DeMarcus Walker. DeMarcus is not starting.
Yeah, man, in his 1 year, though, where he was awesome.
I love
16 sacks.
Jermaine Johnson and Jared Verse, or do you want Brian Burns as a pure, beautiful pass rusher who actually has had a much better career than I ever thought he would.
I think Burns would be a fourth on my list.
Okay.
I think he'd be a guy that I'd have to start. Because of the speed coming off the edge.
Those other guys are two different kinds.
I'm just basing it on like what they did at Florida State. I didn't feel like he had.
Clearly, you're not basing on what he did in the NFL because he's been awesome.
Yeah, I know, but I'm basing on what when they were at Florida State.
Okay, so if you're going to do it based on Florida State, good to define our terms. Good job.
I mean, that's how I'm looking at it.
All right. So then in DeMarcus.
DeMarcus.
Yes, you're going to do it better that way. Yeah, all right.
DeMarcus and Jermaine. Yeah. Florida State careers, DeMarcus and seasons.
I wish we'd have had 2 years with Jermaine. He was awesome, man. That was fun to watch. The way things, especially in the big moments of the big games, that was a guy. And I've said all along, by the way, I don't know enough people appreciate how good Kier Thomas was for Florida State.
Yeah, very good. He was too to just the what they are today. He was a big part of that team that wasn't very good, but it got to mediocre because of him and Jermaine and others.
I mean they nailed it with those two guys. Really, you know, there's a bunch of guys in that, like Jayshon Corbin. They nailed it with a lot of guys. And Norvell is quick to say that, like, we identify guys that are going to fit. That's a big part of it too. But the reality is, man, like, how many choices did they have?
Well, Jermaine was one of those ones.
It's not like they were picking Jermaine over somebody else. To some degree, they got lucky that those guys saw something in this program once they got here and fit in.
Yeah.
Because they believed in what they were doing.
Right. Yeah. That was important. They sold the vision and they got him to say yes. And then those guys took off. I'll never forget talking to Jermaine and asking him why. And he said, well, Mike was the only one that said that from the get-go he was going to challenge me. He was going to try to make me something that I hadn't been up to that point. And he goes, and I realized at that point that this was it. I had to do it. I had to get better at these things, and I had to get better at leadership, and I had to get better at work ethic. So that's kind of cool because we at least know. I mean, Jermaine walked through the door looking like an Adonis. Yeah. They didn't teach him that. Right. But
didn't develop that part.
Right. But they did figure out mentally how to get him going. And that is huge. And that goes kind of back to what we were talking about earlier. By the way, would the three of us ever consider collaboration to do a book on Florida State?
That was the question.
What are you going to do, Jeff? You going to do the interviews and we transcribe them?
You do the audio book.
Yeah, I guess you could read them. And I know you can write. That's not imputing your intellect. I'm just saying that's not something you do.
Well, it's exactly what it was doing. But
no, it wasn't. Okay. It's like, that's not true. Right. I wouldn't do an oral history. I wouldn't do a podcast on Florida State's. Well, yeah, I would.
You want to play to your strengths.
Yeah. No, I can write, but I would rather you guys write.
Right.
And I'll read the audio.
By the way, writing is the worst.
I love the games that you guys have to write and I don't.
Levitard's constantly. Levitard, anytime he talks about this, because people are like, man, you were such a great columnist. Like, that's hard.
It's
like,
really
I
hard.
I like just turning
on. Bill Simmons talks about all the time. He hasn't written anything in 2 years. Like, it's just
because he wrote way too much when he did.
Oh, he wrote like a crazy
person. He needs to write a 900-page basketball book. That is ridiculous.
It was more than that, I think. Also, real quick, going back to that other question, shout out to DeMarcus Walker, man. He's made himself a nice NFL career. He's still in the league.
He's made money, yeah.
7 years later. Good for him, man. That's cool. And Brian Burns has become an all-pro.
Dude, Brian Burns is a lot better player than I ever gave him credit for. I thought because of his career here, I thought he was kind of a one-trick pony, and it wasn't that great a trick because he was undersized, and I thought, man, they're going to run right at you. But he proved me dead-ass wrong and has kicked ass as a pass rusher. And didn't he just get traded to the Giants?
Yeah.
He got traded. Yeah. Or he signed with them. Right. One of those. Big deal. Yeah.
Wave goodbye, Corey. You're out of here.
Peace.
Later. Ira, wave goodbye to the kids.
Enjoyed it.
All right. Be good, brother. I'll do the same here in just a moment as we count down the seconds. Don't forget, go to warchant.com. Subscribe. If you're not a subscriber, you're missing out. What are you waiting on? All the great content. Corey, Ira. Of course, we got the shows. Wake Up, Jeff Cameron's show, and all the best in recruiting. So make sure you make your way over to Warchant. Take it easy, everybody.